hate them. Other people can have them, but...
Donate them to charity.
Yeah, I will. It's like kind of like Locks of Love, but it's tit for tat.
That's really good.
Anyway, so...
Did I tell you I was going to get a tat of tits? Speaking of this?
Good for you, on your ass.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to have titties on my ass. I'm actually going to... I'm going to get... God damn it. I'm going to get a tattoo that makes my ass look like titties, so people feel like they're motorboating me when they're eating me out.
Incredible. They just think they're motorboating.
Yeah, so like every time I get ate out, they'll be like, oh, this is just like motorboating, you know? I'll kind of like, it's kind of a demonstration on what to do.
Oh my god. Okay, so...
1, 2, 3, fair game! Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Let's get into it. Yeah. Please get into it. Yeah. Let's stop talking. Yeah. Let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
I hit record.
Okay. Happy for you.
Thank you. I like how we've been doing this podcast for... over a year.
Don't say that.
Some would say 15 months.
Is that true?
Unfortunately.
I need to be euthanized.
I think even longer. I think just 15 months ago is when we started releasing.
Lordy.
Oh, you took off your Minecraft background.
I was never on Minecraft.
Okay. My cat's eating and it just sounded like she choked.
Which one?
Olive.
Oh, no. That's the one I don't want to choke.
I know.
I think Olive... like, part of my psychology just wants to treat Olive better.
She's just so beautiful.
Yeah, and she's, and like...
it's pretty privilege.
It is pretty privilege, and also she just, like, doesn't seem to like many people, and that's my favorite kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I want to
earn it. So when you're in with Olive, it's, like, very special.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like Fern's kind of in with everyone.
Yeah. Fern has a UTI right now. Hot girl shit.
Of course. Fern is kind of like the community bicycle, right? Like everyone gets a ride in a way.
The other day I woke up at 4 a.m. to pee and Fern was just being so cute. So I stayed up for like 45 minutes just to pet her because she was being so cute.
Linus would never let that happen.
Yeah. Hi, Fern. Do you hear us talking about you? Okay, so what was I talking about right at the beginning of the show? Oh, we've been recording this for 15 months, or releasing it for 15 months, and we still have never bothered to sync our audio.
That's not true.
I mean, we do it when we have guests.
Yeah, so we can pretend that we're real.
Yeah. But I just think that's really powerful.
Yeah.
And
right ultimately, it does make more work for you, or whoever happens to be editing the episode, which is usually you.
Right. Which is me minus 3 episodes, which is you.
I have offered every single week, and I've been turned down every single week other than 3.
You might notice that I have a little bit of movement.
I've become
a yoga ball girly.
Is that true?
It's prescription because my back is still so fucked up from the accident.
Oh, okay. I was going to make fun of you, but now I can't do that in good conscience.
Yeah, I can't sit for, like, longer than 45 minutes without my back hurting really badly. So...
I can't sit for very long either, but that's just because I'm kind of a community bicycle as well. And
yeah, I was going to say, that's because you have hemorrhoids.
No, so. That's because I get fucked frequently.
Right. Which causes you to have hemorrhoids.
No, the hemorrhoids came first, and then I got fucked to kind of try to push them back in.
Gotcha. I picked up my car, finally.
Yes. When are you going to pick me up, and when are we going to drive?
Oh my god, listen, my car has AC now.
Yes, that's why I'm offering to let you drive me places.
I know. And my car... is it 2012, which isn't, like, new,
okay,
right?
Slay.
But it has the first person who owned the car leased it for 2 years and then bought it. And because they leased it first, it's like a pretty high edition car.
Yeah.
So like it's a 2012, but it has fucking Bluetooth.
Yeah.
Slay. My sister's car is a 2015 and doesn't have Bluetooth. So, yes.
Okay, sorry. I do need to point out, I do have closed captioning on just because I'm being obnoxious. And when I say slay, it does the correct slay, like S-L-A-Y. With you, it sounds so homophobic coming from you that they do like Santa's slay. So, like, maybe internalize that and think about it for a second and question whether you should be using these terms.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna do some self-reflection.
But I do have to say, there is nothing better than getting, like, a 2012, because you can get, like, all... Mine's also a 2012, so, like, you know, bonded.
Cute.
But that's why I have, like, leather heated seats and, like, all the optional shit, you know?
Yeah. So... Two other things. Number one, I just watched this special that I really think that you'd like. I'm not really sure if anybody has watched it. So I kind of want to, like, you know, as Reverend Stone would say, like, pontificate to the masses.
Yeah. The new Chappelle?
No. It's this little thing. It's really small. It's called Inside by Bo Burnham.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
I literally just watched it for the first time.
Why did I think you'd seen it?
I mean, I have those vibes, but I had listened to the music. I just hadn't watched it. So I finally watched it.
Okay.
And it was pretty good. But it's because with the same friend, we're currently watching Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh, God.
Have you seen that movie?
Twice. I told you to see it twice.
Okay. Probably.
I recommended it on this pod 3.5 times.
I'm really enjoying it. We're finishing it tonight, I believe. So I'm excited to finish it.
Okay, slay.
You know that I historically hate movies.
Yes, I do. That's why I didn't push you to watch this movie with me.
That's like the highest praise, is if someone who hates movies likes a movie.
Yeah.
Maybe I should become a film critic.
No. I'm saying that for your own good. You would hate that. Do you know how many movies you'd have to watch?
Well, that'd be the critique. It'd be like, could I watch it?
I feel like so many good movies would get shafted.
Like any movie that was longer than 1.5 hours, I'd be like, bad.
I mean, I kind of operate on that system as well. I'm starting to... My attention span is starting to get, like, unfried to the point where I can watch movies and enjoy them again, which I'm really happy about, because, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, I went from watching, like, probably 5 to 7 movies a week to, like, none.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a very long time to get back to where I could even watch, like, 1 movie a week, and now I've been able to, like, watch them, and that feels really good to me. Because I am a movie guy, deep down at my core. But no, I've been watching movies. I've been reading books.
I want you to know that I love you, despite the fact that you're a movie guy.
Oh my God, thank you so much.
I haven't seen you updating that motherfucking Goodreads. Good for you.
Yeah, I read a book in like a day, which was, it's been a while since I've done that.
Incredible. How many books behind are you on your goal?
I don't want to talk about that.
I'm 18.
I'm like 27. It's definitely still doable. I just need to get, you know, I gotta get off my fucking ass and work, you know?
Yeah, nobody wants to work these days.
But I am almost done with 2 different books. And again, I just plowed through this really good YA book called Layoverland by Gabby Noon. I would highly recommend it.
Oh yeah, I saw you on that.
It was really, I enjoyed it. It was just like fun. And a little sad, but ultimately full of hope. Also, I just love purgatory as a concept. So that was really fun.
Yeah.
I got drunk out of my mind at a drive-in movie the other day. It was an eerie. I was with some friends. I was sick, so I couldn't go to work.
Right.
Actually, yeah, I went obviously. To work, and then I had to leave because I just felt so violently ill. But as soon as I walked out of the building, I felt good enough to drive up to Erie and go hang out with some friends and, like...
Wow. I'm so glad.
Go see Jurassic World, the new one, at the drive-in theater.
Nice.
We made a little drinking game out of it. Illegally, you're not supposed to drink at the drive-in for weird reasons. Right. I don't get it, but, like... So, like, every time Chris Pratt did his little handout thing and it magically stopped a dinosaur from just wrecking his shit, we took a drink. Anytime Laura Dern was just, like, aggressively hot, we took a drink.
So the whole movie?
Yeah, so, like, I was out of it pretty quickly, and, my Twitter feed suffered for it, frankly. I just wanted to again direct you to my Twitter where you can like such hits as self-care is not tweeting Chris Pratt needs his bussy ate while drunk at the drive-in.
Chris Pratt, you know, known lover of the homosexuals.
And known needer of his bussy getting ate.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's... when I was drunk, I had kind of an oral fixation on the word bussy. I do remember vividly at one point, a T-Rex burst across the screen, like, attacking people. I'm like, that T-Rex needs his bussy ate.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so...
hot.
New Jurassic World, not a great film, I will say that.
Wow.
Don't get at That's me, brave. Jurassic heads.
It's brave.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I did a lot of really cool stuff, but basically I've been catching up on television. I've been playing with Legos. Mm-hmm. I've been reading books.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been eating bussy.
It's incredible.
The last one's not true.
Okay, we need to like actually get into this episode. So we can stop talking about this episode. Hi, welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name is Aaron.
My name is Jesse.
Today we're covering season 4, episode 4. One Foot Out the Door. Wait, is that right? Or is this... Yeah.
If I had my way, it would be called One Foot Up the Ass. And that ass would be Ben's, because I'd kick it.
This episode was directed by Gail Bradley, written by Paul Perlove, aired... to a dismal 1.6 million viewers.
Because?
It aired on July 4th, 2011.
They are begging to get canceled.
Yeah. So, and you know the families or the teenagers who are watching this show, they're part of the families that are like, gonna go watch the fireworks.
They're running around with sparklers in their bras. They're saluting the flag.
They are Katy Perry-ing it. Yeah.
Oh, God. When she flashes New York and fireworks pop out of her tits, that was when I knew homosexuality was for me. I didn't think, oh, hot. Right. I thought, oh, mother.
Gross. Do you have biblical context?
I do, but I think you should go first.
Okay, this came out on July 4th, 2011. It's by Lori Tarkin. And it just says, new study implicates environmental factors in autism.
Oh.
That's it. I thought it was interesting. It just, the new study of twins suggests that environmental factors, including conditions in the womb, may be at least as important as genes in causing autism.
Okay.
You know? And so... thinking about our alma mater, right?
Yeah.
The very homeschooled kids, you know, people will be like, oh, they're not autistic. They just were, like, extremely, like, sheltered and homeschooled. It's yeah. Like, oh. But could that mayhaps influence?
I don't think it could, because most of them didn't have their vaccines.
That's true.
So they're kind of covered.
Also, this is, you know, we're fair at a to do this because after my neuropsych testing last week, you know, I got the official okay that I do be autistic.
Snaps for that.
Yeah. So.
And one of my best friends is autistic, so I can say that stuff.
Is it me?
Yeah.
All right, what's your biblical context?
My biblical context comes from Millard Fillmore's bathtub.
Like, is that a...
It's a website striving for accuracy in history, economics, geography, education, politics, and a little science.
Okay.
And the headline is... July.
Wait, by a little science, they mean science that deals with, like, little things, right?
Yeah, so, like, just microbiology. Like, tiny little science.
Yeah, okay.
It's the science of my dick.
Jesse, you don't need to be humble.
You're right, that hog is slanging.
Wait, can I show you this cucumber I got at the store yesterday?
Oh, I didn't know where that was going, but yes, I would love that.
I need to show it to you. I literally...
I might need to borrow it.
I already cut into it.
Ooh.
But it was longer than this. Okay.
What are you doing?
I'm showing you it compared to my hand. But isn't this like a big cucumber? And it was longer too.
Yeah, it's large.
Anyway, the girth on this cucumber. Sorry, I'll put it away. Sparkling water while I was up.
Oh my god.
Okay, seeing that. Do your fucking.
Really? You're gonna interrupt me and then yell at me? Okay.
I'm just kidding. All right.
My biblical context. My biblical context comes from a little site called Millard Fillmore's Bathtub. And the headline is July 4th, 2011. Fly your flag today.
What'd you call me? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm choking up my pride. Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Linus, get me a glass of water. Dude, come on. That fucker wants me to choke.
Yeah, he does. Okay. He told me.
You told me just with it. Like, you won't even meet my eyes right now. Anywhoomst, that's my article. July 4th, 2011. Fly your flag today.
Would you like to elaborate or no?
Let me read it to you because it's pretty short. 4th of July. NPR has already read the Declaration of Independence. PBS broadcast the Capitol 4th concert last night. Maybe a rebroadcast is available. Check your local listings. Your town has a parade somewhere this weekend and fireworks are everywhere. Remember to put your flag up today. And that's it.
Incredible. Strong stance, I like it.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's important. I just love that hard-hitting journalism of Millard Fillmore's Bathtub, you know?
Yeah. They really don't get enough credit.
They don't. I've been saying for years that they don't get enough credit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get into the episode. We start in the apartment. Ricky is like cooking or something. Amy and John get home. John feels warm to Amy.
Yeah.
So newsflash, this entire episode is going to be a fight between Amy and Ricky about if John is really sick. She thinks that the doctor's office is closed. And so she's like, we need to take him to the emergency room. And he accuses her of having Munchausen by proxy.
Immediately. Which... Yeah.
Yeah.
That and was then... wild.
Yeah.
Are you one of those Munchausen then... mommies?
She thinks it's an ear infection, which truly you don't need to go to the emergency room for.
No. But it could get worse if it's left untreated.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, has Johnny ever had an ear infection? She's like, yeah. And he didn't know that, so now he, like, feels bad. And she doesn't like going to the emergency room or, like, the doctor's office because she gets, like, bad attention for being a teenager with a child. They fight, whatever. John covers his ears and says, ow.
With the biggest smile on his face.
Yeah.
He's happy to be delivering lines.
Ow.
He's finally earning his contract.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they didn't tell his mother this when she signed, but he gets paid per the word.
Yeah.
So, like, he was not earning an income for the last three seasons.
Yeah. Also, just for the record, pediatricians' offices have an off-hours line. There is someone typically on call that you call.
I will say that that is addressed.
Right, but they never call that line.
Yeah, because Ricky's too stubborn to.
Well, Amy could fucking do it.
But she's too stubborn to not have Ricky do it.
Yeah.
They're stubborning each other out.
So, Ricky calls the regular office and leaves a message. He calls Amy, his wife. She smiles. And then Ricky is like, I'm never going to marry you. Yeah, and then she gets mad.
Yeah, he's like, stupid bitch, I didn't call you my wife. I wouldn't say that because I never want to be anywhere near marriage with you.
Yeah. He's like, what the fuck, you thought we were dating? Okay, so then we go to the theme. Do you have an alternative theme?
Yes, I do. My alternative theme, I'd have to say, due to Adrian's new dreams, would have to be Native New Yorker by Wendy Williams as the lips on the hit television program The Masked Singer.
Can you give us a little taste?
Here I go! Wow! Native New Yorker!
Nobody opens the door
for a Native New Yorker!
Sorry, I'm laughing in character because, you know, she laughs too. So, my alternative theme is Moon Song by Phoebe Bridgers. For the line, you're sick, that's about John. And you're married,
that's about Ben.
That's about Ben. And you might be dying.
Again, about John.
Right. But you're holding me like water in your hands. And that's about Georgian Moose.
That's true. This is so much better than when you said it was Moonsong because of the line about...
We hate tears in heaven, but it's sad that his baby died.
That you cut, that you bleeped over, and that you will probably bleep over again. Even after I made a beautiful parody.
Yeah, what'd you say?
I said, we hate Ben and Adrian, but it's sad their baby died.
It is sad that their baby died.
Yeah.
So... okay, we go to the apartment. John is sleeping. Amy and Ricky are in the bedroom. She's studying. Ricky went out and he got a thermometer, and he also got a candy bar for Amy. And let me tell you, I eat that shit up. If you're out running an errand and you grab something.
Oh, I love a little errand treat.
Yeah.
Ow, Jesus Christ. Ow. Sorry, I was just getting eaten.
Out.
God, I wish. Yeah, so, you can't see what's happening below frame.
So then, you know, we hear John say ow from the other room. Then they fight some more. Okay, we go to Jeff's. Leo and Ben are eating dinner together. We find out Ben fucked all weekend. Don't talk to your dad about this.
This whole conversation I could have done without. This whole everything.
Yeah, and Ben says things are worse than ever because he still wants out. And Leo's like, I have the solution for you. I also just cured depression.
Oh my god, this was really powerful. I needed to hear this.
Choose to be happy.
That's so important.
And then Ben is like, would you have married Betty if you knew Camille was in love with you? And Leo accuses him of living in fantasy land. Sexy. We go back to the apartment. They are going to the emergency room. And Ricky is like, are you taking him to the ER because I said I don't want to marry you? I do. I want to marry you. And I'm like, that's different than wanting to marry someone.
I really like Ricky in this moment. I get it. This is the kind of shit I'll say when I'm an emotionally unavailable bitch.
Yeah. Then we go to the condo. Adrian and Grace are conversing. And Adrian tells Grace to stop justifying the fact that she had sex by saying that she's going to marry Daniel. Like, you can just want to have sex. And Grace is like, but like, I do. And I know it's like bad to have sex with someone to like make them stick around. And then Adrian is like, well, I kind of did that. I have this gut feeling that Ben is having doubts. And I was like, do you mean last week when he fully said it to you?
When he punched you in the gut and said, I'm going to leave you, bitch.
Yeah.
That's the gut feeling.
Yeah. And then Adrian is like, I have a new plan where I am going to lie to Ben and make him think that I'm leaving so that way he wants me more. I'm going to go to cosmetology school.
I'm going
to
become a native New Yorker.
Because I don't know if you know this. There are no cosmetology schools except for in New York.
That's really true. There's none worth their salt, let me tell you that.
So Grace accuses Adrian of watching too much daytime TV, and she says that it's bad to trick Ben intentionally. Go off, Grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We go to the emergency room. This nurse is fucking pissed at Ricky because Ricky's name isn't on, like, any of the paperwork, I guess. And then Ricky calls Amy his wife again, and he's like, what's wrong with me? And the nurse is like, I bet I could tell you a couple things.
Okay. If I'm Ricky, I'm like, was she flirting with me?
I think so.
Honestly.
Ricky's getting every woman in that waiting room.
Ricky is just a grade A panty dropper. What can you say?
You straight up cut out.
And that's fine. That'll be a little surprise for you when you edit the episode.
Ooh. Exciting.
You Let find me out react I was just saying like it. A bunch of homophobic and sexist slurs.
Let me react to it.
Yeah.
You're so right. Okay.
Oh my God, thank you. Wow. Sorry, I'm just
so
like, oh.
We go to George and Moose. They're cuddling. You know.
He's holding him like water in his hands.
Yeah. Ashley calls. And we find out that Toby's grandmother sprained her ankle, so she's not going to be there for a while. And George is like, well, here's an idea. Why don't you get a job? And Ashley is like, but we're minors.
Minors famously cannot have any sort of job.
Bitch, I got my first job when I was 12.
Bitch, you got an illegal job as a bartender 3 seasons ago.
That's true. That is so true.
Don't act like you can't work a job. Don't act like you can't excel at a job.
Yeah.
That was before they retconned her age to be a year younger than Amy, and she was like 11 years old at the beginning of the series.
George basically tells her that he's going to cut her off. He's going to stop putting money in her account.
I'm going to say it. I don't think he should have put money in her account to start with. I don't think he should be encouraging this trip.
No. Absolutely not.
Because Toby sucks, and
also, what is George doing? Because it seems like he could have just, like, gone along.
Oh, yeah. Just say, you can go, but I'm chaperoning, and that immediately takes the fun out of it, and that's the point.
Right. So then they hang up. We have a little conversation between Toby and Ashley. Toby sucks so bad, because he's basically like, we're minors, how are we going to get jobs? But, like, especially, how are you going to get a job?
Toby is such an ass. I can't stand this motherfucker. If I see him, it's on site.
Yeah, he's like, instead of getting jobs, we should just hit the road again. And Ashley is like, well, we're really lucky we didn't get arrested driving here. Is it because you robbed banks on the way? Like,
I was just thinking, like, what is this? Is this, are they Bonnie and Clyde-ing? Is there a lot of roadhead happening? Like, what's going on?
Well, that's like, So, Japanese breakfast, watch this episode, actually. You gave your hell. So, then we go to the Bowman kitchen. Reverend Stone is there, and he's talking to Jack. And he tells him that he has a new job opportunity to teach philosophy in a high school and also go back to his, you know, minister position at the church because they haven't filled it. Honestly, accurate to how slow filling a pastor position is.
At the church I grew up in, it took them like a year and a half to find a pastor. And then the congregation immediately ran him out within like 6 months. Because they didn't like that he used the Bible too much.
At the church that I grew up in, the pastor left because he felt called to go to another church, and then that church hated him. And so, like, I think it was... It might have only been, like, 6 months later or something like that, but he came back, and he was like, can I have my job back? And they, like, confirmed him again.
He was like, actually, that calling was, it was a butt dial, frankly, and I would like my job back.
Yo, if you don't deconstruct your faith after that, like, I don't fucking know.
Small conservative Christian churches are such asses to their pastors.
Yeah.
Like, they basically drove out the pastor that was there for the time I was a baby until, like, 3 years ago. And then they switched denominations, basically to drive him out. Spent, like, a year and a half finding a new one. The guy was there for, like, 6 months, and they were like, we don't like him. Get us a new one. The first choice pastor that they chose was like, I'm not coming to this fucking place, because it sucks and the people are bad.
And that is on cutting toxic people out of your life.
That. And that's on period.
Yeah. Hold up those boundaries, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Slay, boots down, bitch. Was that something?
So.
No. No. No.
What?
I'm supposed to see I'm supposed to see Ringo Starr next Sunday, and they postponed it.
Oh.
Okay. Moving on.
So, we find out that the job opportunity that Reverend Stone has to teach philosophy at a high school is this high school called Mount Xavier.
Where apparently he'll get the shit beat out of him if he goes.
Yeah, he'll either get beat up or mugged or shot.
So that must be where Duncan goes to school, right?
Right. Yeah, obviously. And then... Grace and Daniel come in to the kitchen. There's like a little conversation between them and Reverend Stone. They leave. And then Reverend Stone and Jack discuss Madison's involvement with like them potentially moving back to California from Arizona.
Yeah. And Reverend Stone's like, well, you know, Grace is a fickle girl. So you're probably thinking if she dumped Grant that fast, then she might dump what's-his-name that fast and come crawling back to you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is he wrong?
I will say...
Women,
like,
am I right?
Now that they live in the same house, Grace and Jack are giving major Folgers kids vibes.
I mean, but Jack and Kathleen are also
giving major Folgers kids vibes.
So,
I was going to say this should just have a threesome and get it over with, but that's actually really fucked up.
So we go to the living room where Grace and Daniel are kissing. And in the conversation with Reverend Stone, Daniel called himself Grace's boyfriend. And she's like, oh my God, we're boyfriend, girlfriend. They talk a little bit about Grant. And she's like, when do you think we'll have time to be alone again? And he's like, I'm not sure. Ha 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 ha. And then she says, do you think our relationship will last? And he's like, are you asking me if I'll marry you? Because I think it's too early to make those plans. And she's like, well, I wasn't. And he's like, I think you were. That's not really.
No, there's other things besides. You can just be asking, do you see a relationship with me or a future with me without being like, are you going to marry me, fucker?
Right. Like, I think it's like, especially, you know, they did start this relationship off in a physical way. So I think it's important to ask, like, what are your expectations? You know, are you 100%. Interested in dating seriously?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But they're like, no, obviously. It's the only reason Grace could ask. So we go to Jeff's again. We find out that Ben is thinking of going to college as an escape. And Leo's like, well, if you're married, like, Adrian will obviously just come with you. And Ben goes to change the subject and asks Leo how work is. And Leo is like, you know, it might be good for you to come work in the office and kind of learn how those things are run. And Ben is like, I don't want to run your stupid sausage corporation. And
where are you? What the hell? Sorry, Linus is rooting around somewhere. I have no idea where he is, but he's making a lot of noise.
Oh, he's behind you with a knife, so.
Oh, God, I wish. But yeah, Ben's like, yeah, I don't know that I'd want to be on the top of this. And it's like, Ben's really not used to being on top, I can tell. He's used to being on the very bottom handling a sausage, if you know what I'm saying.
Thank you.
The sausage is Adrian's strap.
So,
oh my God, what if they don't have a strap? He just brings home a new salami from the, like, butcher shop every Sunday.
Oh, I was
going
to say the cucumber.
Oh, that too. They alternate depending on how spicy they're feeling.
So, that was homophobic, the way that you just flopped your wrist.
I'm so sorry.
We find out that Leo is like, are you just trying, you know, Leo's like, is your plan to just interpret money from me? You know?
Inherit.
And Ben's like, no, but like, I don't, which means yeah, but like, he doesn't want to work in the sausage business. He wants to, you know, strike out on his own, maybe explore hard cheeses.
Ooh, a hard cheese. That gets me going.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also find out that like, Leo's idea of Ben being his assistant is like Ben coming to the office after school hours,
which like most school hours are basically work hours, right? So like, is Ben gonna be his assistant for 2 hours at most?
Right, like that seems like a really like horrible assistant schedule.
Unless you get him like a work study where he can like get out halfway through every day, but like,
right.
Even then Ben would be a horrible assistant. He can't do
he'd
anything.
Be so bad. Yeah.
Fucker can barely tie his own shoes.
He would be deleting emails as... Oh, sorry. He would be deleting emails as soon as he read them.
Oh, yeah. He'd be a real Hillary.
What were on those texts, Ben?
It was his invitation to the Epstein Island.
Jeez.
Ooh.
So... Leo poses the question to Ben and he says, what do you want in terms of like career aspirations? And Ben just replies, to get out of my marriage. And then Leo poses another question, which is essentially, would you be trying to get out of your marriage if Mercy had lived? To which that answer is, of course, no. So we go back to the emergency room. Amy is studying and Ricky's like, well, I didn't know to bring books. And it's like, have you never been in the emergency room?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, emergency rooms are prime reading.
Yeah. Honestly, it's very impressive that John is sitting so nicely in the emergency room.
Yeah.
Amy gets up to go to the bathroom. This woman comes over to Ricky, very nosy, and she's like, is this your son? Or is that your wife? And Ricky tells her to mind her business. And then Amy is like looking over at them. She's mad. Amy has stepped away to talk to Anne on the phone, and Anne is like, I think you might be overreacting. This is not an emergency. Amy is upset about being told that because she feels like Ricky is right. And so she hangs up and goes back to Ricky, and we find out Dr. Hightower called Ricky back and said that they could come in the morning. Amy's like, what did that woman want? And Ricky replies, she asked me if you were my wife, and I told her we were never getting married, so now she's not talking to me either.
That's very funny.
Yeah, Amy did not think it was funny, but that was
a good joke. That was a well-structured joke.
Yeah. So then Anne and George have a phone call. They talk about the situation with Amy, the situation with Ashley, and George says something where he's like, do you ever think the kids are the reason our marriage didn't work out? And Anne just replies,
I fucking love that.
Do you ever think that we never really loved each other and that's why our marriage didn't work out?
I think it's really powerful for George to be like, you know, regardless of what popular media, the woke left will tell you, kids, it is your fault.
Yeah. I think it's really brave to just, like, blame your kids.
I think more people need to do it, honestly.
Yeah. So, George, they hang up. George kisses Moose. Gross.
With Tom.
We go to the Bowman upstairs hallway, kind of in, like, the bedroom area. There's an interaction between Jack and Grace. He needs to brush his teeth, but he invites Grace to go first. And she's like, yeah, it's my house.
Mm.
They have, like, a weird interaction where Jack is like, I like your pajamas or whatever they're called. And she's like, it's no business what they're called, but thank you. They talk about how Reverend Stone got offered a job at Mount Xavier. And Grace says, for what? Giving last rites? I hate these people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So... Kathleen, then we like see that like Kathleen was downstairs eavesdropping on Jack and Grace's interaction. Tom comes in to talk to Kathleen and she's like, oh, Tom, it's so late. And he's like, it's 9:30. I enjoy staying up late. But he is not able to do that anymore with, you know, Rachel and Ronnie and Bonnie.
In a one bedroom house.
Yeah.
Not even one bedroom house.
In like a studio. Yeah. He wants to watch TV and she's like, well, the kids have school tomorrow. And he's like, they can sleep with the damn TV on.
That's actually really bad for your sleeping patterns.
Yeah. It's not good. That blue light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for it. That blue light. I'm on it. Also, Tom can straight up like walk into the house and use the television. Like, I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Right. They act like once they've moved out to the guest room, they're like,
they're not allowed back.
Yeah. So we go to Leo's bedroom. Betty wants to hear about Ben and like dinner, you know, Leo and Ben's dinner. And he's like, oh, I'm going to have a drink. Do you want one? And she's like, sure. But like, do you notice that you've been drinking more lately? And she's like, but it's kind of understandable. There's been a lot more going on. A lot going on with Ben and Adrian. A lot going on with Camille. And he's like, oh, there's nothing going on with Camille.
Betty doesn't deserve this. She's so good and attentive.
Why does he have a bar in his bedroom?
Because he's a boss bitch.
Yeah, I get it. Well, he's a boss baby, some would say.
Oh my god, yes.
So... Yes. Also, Betty's lingerie kind of looks like she's wearing, like, a blazer over top of it.
I didn't even register that she was wearing lingerie.
Lingerie?
Lingerie? as my favorite people, the French, say.
Yeah. So then she asks Leo if he's happy. And he says yes. And she asks if he's happy he married her. And he says, of course.
Mm.
And he asks her, are you happy you married me? And she says, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. And he's like, well, just like imagine something better. And she's like, I literally can't. She says, like, I do have some regrets in my life, of course, you know, leaving my parents, being with that boyfriend, doing what I thought that I had to do, aka her, the sex work that she felt, you know, she didn't have, like, freedom in.
Yeah.
And Leo is like, well, that's who you were then. That's not who you are now. And she's like, that's why I love you so much.
And that's he's why, like, I'll stay with you till the day I die.
Till when you put a hit out on me and kill me. Betty would be such a good mob wife.
Yeah, she honestly, she needs to hook up with fucking what's her name's father.
Benito, you found me.
That episode put back U.S.-Italian relationships by at least 10 years.
Actually, that episode allowed Ariana Grande to rise to fame. So.
Oh my gosh.
For
a split second, I was like, wait, was that Ariana? And then.
He invites. Or no. Betty is like, I'm gonna, you know, please you all night long. And he's like, oh, we could just, like, talk instead. And she's like, no. And then he just, like, downs his drink.
Which is going to make it a lot harder for him to get this over with, because it'll be a lot less hard, if you know what I'm saying.
We go to the condo where Ben and Adrian, you know, interact. At this point, I'm watching the episode with Chloe.
Yes.
And she just says, I don't know what's wrong with Ben. She's hot.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. Ben's never going to do better, right? Like, we could all agree. What does he think's going to happen if he leaves her ass?
True. He has some serious emotional baggage. You know?
Truly.
We find out Adrian's in a good mood. She's like, maybe I'm hungover from our weekend together. And he says that he wants to talk to her about something. And she's like, great. Like, meet me on the patio. We can talk about this. Mm. So then we go to the emergency room. This nurse is, like, very annoying. Oh wait. She's annoyed.
Yeah.
Because she is, like, come, you know, whatever. And Ricky's like, this Amy is a hostile Juergens, environment.
John Juergens and Ricky Underwood.
You sound like a Professor McGonagall.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Which one's McGonagall?
Maggie Smith?
Oh my god, if only. If I had Maggie Smith's voice, I would slay boots down, hunty, slay.
Slay the house, boots down. I would down,
slay the
hunty.
House, down boots. It's pride.
Happy
okay?
pride,
it's
everyone.
It's fucking pride.
So, we go to the ER, whatever. They're gonna go back to see the doctor, whatever. Okay, so we go back to the patio with Ben and Adrian. She made brownies. They look fucking good. I want brownies now.
I could go to town on some of those brownies. That's my exact thought.
Her expression during this interaction is definitely crazed, though, which makes me think, are the brownies spiked?
God, I hope.
Yeah. So she tells Ben that, like, she wants to talk to him about her plans for school. She's thinking, you know, she wants to go to cosmetology school. And he's like, well, that's a lot different than law school. And she's like, well, I could do that later, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, but you probably wouldn't, you bitch.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah, bitch. Yeah, bitch.
Then he's like, you know what? you never cease to amaze me. Like, you came up with this new and very creative plan. The way that he reacts to this, if they weren't both being such, like, conniving people, would be very appropriate.
For a split second, I thought everything was turning around and he was going to be, like, fun and supportive.
Mm-hmm. But he's like, if that, he's totally for it. If that's what she wants, he supports her, which is, like, a really good way to react to this. And she's like, well, what if I needed to go to New York to study? And he's like, are you kidding me? That's great. Like, you could go. We could sell this place. We could get you a place out there. And she's like, oh, not us. This is when she looks, like, extremely crazed because she realizes that her plan is backfiring. She suggests that he could come to New York for college. He's being a coward. Mm. And he says that this is very freeing news. And, you know, Adrian walks into the kitchen and he's still on the patio and he says, education is the way out.
A guy shut up down there.
I know, yeah. There's, like, a neighbor who shouts at them, which is hilarious.
Actually, like, a really good bit of comedy. Like, I did giggle because he's like, shut up down there. And Ben's like, I'm going to miss that.
Mm-hmm. So then we go to the kitchen and Adrian just, like, has one line where she's, like, upset about what, you know, how Ben was so supportive.
Yeah.
We go to Jack in the Bowman kitchen. He's talking to Madison on the phone and he's talking about how he doesn't want to be with Grace. If he wanted to be with Grace, he could be. Grace comes in at this point and she's like, could you? Jack is like, I'm gonna call you back. We find out they have a phone curfew.
Good.
Hot. And he's like, all right, well, I'll just talk to you tomorrow. And she, like, Madison through the phone shouts, like, I wish we never had sex. And Grace says, ditto. And she's like, well, do you wish, like, you never had sex with Grant now that you're with Daniel? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, and Daniel, do you regret having sex with him? Or, like, will you wait until the next guy comes around? I just repeated that for audio purposes.
Oh, cool.
Because there was a door closing. So then we go to the emergency room. This doctor is not wearing scrubs. And he's like, you got me. I'm a resident, which means I'm a doctor.
This doctor is queer coded.
Yeah, definitely. Those glasses.
He has the fuck me glasses.
Yeah. Basically, we find out that John is holding his ears and saying, ow, because his parents are arguing too much.
Which I could have told you that because he has a big toothy grin every time he says, ow.
Mm-hmm.
Ow.
Okay. It's the next day. We're at school. Grant and Grace interact. She's like, I have some stuff of yours. And he's like, okay, that's fine. I threw away your stuff. And then at this point, she, like, basically starts bragging about Daniel. And we find out that he is an adult. He is in college. He was on spring break.
Sure.
And then Jack comes up and he's like, does your mom know that? And she's like, no, and neither of you will tell her because friends don't rap out friends.
True.
Yeah. Then we go, okay, so she walks away. Grant and Jack have a conversation in the hallway where they talk again about how she's a very fickle girl.
I hate the word fickle used to describe in a, like, a girl specifically, but, like...
Right.
Just in general, fickle is an uncomfortable word for me.
Right. Like, if you're not using it to describe a fern, I don't want to hear it.
A what?
Isn't it, like, a... No, I said something wrong. We're gonna blow past it. Fiddle leaf fern is what it is. It's not a fickle leaf fern.
I like the idea of a fickle leaf fern. Like, am I gonna grow today? I don't fucking know. We'll find out. Sometimes I like water and sometimes I'll fucking die if you water me.
So Grant walks away. Lauren comes up to talk to Jack and is like, I hope you're happy. Madison was up all night crying. And Jack's like, well, I'm not like breaking up with her. And Lauren's like, well, we know that you want to. Like, you're a weasel.
There's a kid in my high school whose nickname was Weasel.
Okay.
The Wheeze.
Hmm. Was it you?
God, I wish. My only nickname was Hottie with a Body. Or Thick Ass.
Yeah. Okay, so we go down the hall. Amy and Ricky are having a conversation, and they talk about how they need to figure out how to argue without arguing, or John's going to be scarred for life. And Amy's like, well, maybe we need a bigger place. Like, what if me and John just, like, moved back to my dad's house? And he's like, you need to stop threatening that. Like, that's, like, literally so not helpful. And she's basically saying, like, he needs to learn how to, like, control his voice around John. And he's like, I think it's healthy to express emotions around John. Like, the opposite is not great.
Yeah, because he's like, he still needs to know that people aren't happy all the time. Because, which actually, like, kind of a good idea.
Yeah, like, I think it's, like, very...
I'm not for, like, arguing around your children all the time and making them a part of it, but I am for, like, setting realistic standards of not everyone is happy all the time and there's nothing wrong with having negative emotions. I think that's actually, mm-hmm. like, a really cool thing that I wish more people would do.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that you said that there's nothing wrong with having negative emotions, putting kind of like a judging term on those emotions. Maybe we can explore that further.
Yeah, anger is bad. Sadness is bad. And if you do them too often, like, it's okay to feel them sometimes, but if you do them more than like once every 3 months, you're a little bitch who doesn't have friends. I hope that clears things up.
So Amy covers her ears and says ow during this interaction, which is like not cute.
I thought it was kind of funny.
She says that she was just joking, and she hears what he's saying, and she's like, I do need to stop threatening that. I also need to give you more credit about like your role in raising John and like what you know about that. And she says that he's a great dad and someday he'll make a great husband to someone, and she's like, to me, of course. Then we go to Ben,
and he's that's on Alice. Period.
Then we go to Ben, he's talking to Alice and Henry, and Alice and Henry are like, can you please leave us out of whatever conversation yeah. this is? Like, we don't want to know.
Can you please stop telling us you're gonna leave your wife after being married for 2 months?
Yeah. And they say that, like, Ben tells them that he found a way out. And, you know, he reveals to them that Adrian has decided she wants to go to cosmetology school. And they're like, Adrian with her 4.0, who wanted to be a lawyer, and now she's going to go to cosmetology school. Okay, classist. The working class is the backbone of America.
Yes.
And that's not even me being sarcastic.
No, cosmetologists, without them, we'd fucking die.
Also, like, during the conversation with Ben earlier on the patio, like, he's like, oh, so what are you going to do? Like, hair and makeup, work in Hollywood, like, do things like that. And she's like, or I could just do nails, right? And that's supposed to kind of be, like, Ben is supposed to be, like, concerned about that or whatever. But honestly, that sounds great.
Yeah.
If I liked the texture of nails.
Well, the thing is, like, do what you love and you never work a day in your damn life.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Ben says something where he's like, well, you know, cosmetology school is good for Adrian, and like without her without her diploma, her options are limited. And it's like, well, maybe do encourage your wife to get a diploma so that way she does have the most options, because, you know, women already have less options.
Yeah, like, maybe at least get her phony diplome with the GED.
Right.
As George calls it.
Right. Also, I think it's really funny because I feel like a man could drop out of high school, right, and not get a diploma and get a working class job, and it would be seen as like really noble. But if a woman did that, it's, you know,
it's seen as laziness or something. I don't know what it's seen as, but it's not negative.
What?
It's not positive.
Yeah. So then we go to the condo. Adrian is at home and she's talking to Dr. Ottavi on the phone. And she's just like, I just wanted to check in because Ben and I had sex. I wanted to make sure we shouldn't have waited longer. And then she drops the hammer, which is essentially that she's going to try to trap Ben by attempting to get pregnant again.
Honestly, I feel worse for her that she feels the need to do that so closely after tragedy, when the person who promised to support her through the whole thing just decides enough is enough.
Yeah.
I feel no pity for Ben. I feel pity for Adrian, and I hope that she does well, and I hope she doesn't have another baby, but Ben gets stuck taking care of a baby, if that makes sense.
I mean, I don't really think this is, like, a good reaction to what is happening.
No.
But I also, like, her back is against a wall in some ways.
Yeah. And not in a hot way. Not because a man has come up to her at her club and, like, put his hand next to her head and been like, hey, baby. But it's, like, consensual because they were already flirting and, like, she was really into it. So it wasn't just, like, a stranger doing it. It was, like, a man that she thought was hot, whose dick she was hoping would be in her mouth by the end of the night.
Mm-hmm. Well?
I think I'm ready to be euthanized, personally.
All right, I'll book the appointment.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
You're welcome.
That's so sweet.
But this has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
And you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Patreon, and Twitter.
Yeah.
At Your Two Gay Friends.
If you want to see us slay down the house, boots and all, follow us on any of those places.
You can follow Jesse, unfortunately, on Twitter at GoJesse2K20.
And you know what? You won't regret that choice, hunty slay.
You can follow my bookstagram at No Money, No Prospects.
I have nothing to say about that one. I've run out of homosexual slang because I don't know any of it.
You can send us an email at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, as well as Spotify. You can leave us a voice message on Anchor. That's, like, really it, I think.
You can tell Jesse he's hot by tweeting directly at him.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. I hope you have a good day. I hope that your back doesn't hurt.
I hope that your neck doesn't hurt. Or your pussy or your crack.
I hope that your pussy doesn't hurt.
And I hope that your crack does hurt.
Jeez.
But in a good way.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye, everyone. I had to do this thing where I read a children's book, but the children's book doesn't have any words.
I'm sorry, what?
So I have to kind of like tell the story based on like what's happening in the pictures.
Okay.
It's like a picture book. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought it was just like a blank book and they're like, read this, and you had to like, and your response, like if you were like, I can or I can't. Like my driving instructor who told me to turn left on a no left turn place, and I had to be like, I can't do that. And he was like, good, this was a test.
No, I had to read this picture book, but it didn't have any words. And so I kind of had to, like, you know, make up the story.
Yeah.
And he would, like, point to something and he'd be like, and what do you think this character is feeling? And I'd be like, I think that character looks really confused. And he'd go, really? And I'd go,
Just no. kidding. Just kidding.
And he'd be like, I think the character looks like he's feeling this. And I'd be like, yeah.
That's what I meant.
Anyway. And then there was a, he asked a question where he was like, do you feel like you misinterpret people's cues? And I'm like, I don't think I like misinterpret people's cues, but I think I like, you know, like, I'll interpret their cues as they're feeling like a certain way and then they're actually feeling a different way. And he was like, so you misinterpret their cue.
So you misinterpreted this question, apparently.
Anyway, so I waited like 6 months for that appointment.
That's so funny. Like, it's funny.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Anyway.